CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live. We are here. It's Monday. We are going to make your day jolly and happy. Well, we're going to try. I mean, I can't promise anything. The power of Mondays occasionally forces people to misery, but we're going to do our best to stop that. Stem the ugly tide. Let's reintroduce you to the cast of wonderful people here, ready to entertain you and tell you tales. We have Sia Sangweni. Oh, listen to that. All right. Very, very bad singer, but a nice person. Leanne Moles here.
You can't see what I'm doing, but I'm tapping.
Yes, she's tapping. And she's got a little skirt made of netting.
Yes. A tutu.
Yes, a tutu. And then Ben Karpinski's here as well. Look at Ben.
Hello. Yes, hi.
Ben's wearing the scarf because he came in on the bike this morning.
No, I didn't. I've lost everything. I don't know where my glasses are. I don't know where my keys are.
Did you do drugs this weekend?
No.
What was it, meth?
No,
I mean, this is what happens to meth. Meth heads.
Zero drugs.
They end up with no stuff because they've had to sell it for the meth, and then they wonder where it's all gone.
Mm-hmm. Zero drugs this weekend. Okay. I did have a great weekend, but I'm present.
Okay, well, that's good.
Physically.
And Noddle will be in a moment to take your calls on 0861-555-189. Any exciting things happen, Ben, in your travel to Sun City? I saw you and Daniela all over social media with your Sun City trip.
Yeah, I'm putting together this 48-hour vlog of Sun City. So, 48 hours, things you can do there. Mm-hmm. And it was so incredible. Firstly, it's like the end of winter. So, you go there, no matter what time of year you go there, it just feels special. And it was like another season. It was great.
Love going there. It always feels like a little mini holiday.
Yeah, and you get to like wear shorts. I wore shorts this weekend.
That's nice. That doesn't happen in August usually.
No,
it was great, Gareth. So we had a full itinerary. The video I'm going to make is going to be absolutely amazing around this. But we did like the maze with the beer tasting. The King's Tower, that big zip line where you go for like 2 kilometers.
Yes.
That is amazing because like you feel like you're flying.
Yeah.
We went to the crocodile enclosure because that's something you normally take children to. But we went
and you put the children in the enclosure.
I mean
the crocodiles to the children.
There's actually a sign as you walk out of the crocodile place, like, is anyone missing?
Oh my word.
There are hundreds of these little things. And then there are these big ones. This one guy, Arnold, he's like 92 years old.
They've given it a name.
Yeah, he weighs 960 kilograms. And he's just huge. He just eats
a lot of chicken.
They do. So they do this whole thing where they put the chickens out and they snap their jaws. And
yeah, they make like a sucking noise when they open them. They go...
And they've got these mouths like toxic guacamole. And it was just so interesting.
Mouths like what?
Toxic guacamole. They just look... But it was fascinating, guys. So we did all that.
I don't like crocodiles, huh?
We did Valley of the Wave stuff. We had cocktails. It was just, it felt like I'd been away for a week. It was that good.
That's fantastic.
Wow. And got back this morning. And
You got back this morning.
Sorry, I got back mentally this morning when the alarm went off. And yeah, I just, look, when I travel nowadays, it's never light because I'm taking camera stuff.
So I've just...
Just endless.
I just posted a picture of you... With you don't know how to wear headphones. You've forgotten that as well.
It's because they're not charged yet.
This is a great start for you.
I couldn't find my headphones either this morning, so I grabbed the only ones that were lying around, and they're my Bluetooth ones that you need to charge. So currently,
a disastrous
Happy
morning.
Happy Monday,
guys. Otherwise, I've got a bit of color on me.
But you know, they say that this is absolute bullshit, but it's worth a mention. They say the better your weekend, the worse your Monday.
Which is fine.
Always.
Which is fine.
Why?
I'll pick it up. I've got a meeting at about 11:30.
Usually, if you had a lot of fun over the weekend and you relaxed and you kind of indulged yourself a little bit, Monday's just hell because it's back to like being an orderly, sensible person.
Oh. So the aim is to make every weekend really shitty. And you'll be fine on Monday.
Yeah, you make your weekend Monday. Shit, then you're like, oh, thank God, I'm back at work on Monday. People like that. All right, and you get up to anything fun, Sia?
I spent a lot of time with my family. We were here and then everywhere just doing random errands, but pleasantly surprised that none of us killed each other as we spent.
Did you guys get along? You like each other.
Depends.
How's your sister coming along with the pregnancy? That you're kind of, you're like her warden.
Yo, well, now the realization is sinking in that she's actually having a baby in 2 seconds. And by 2 seconds, we mean like 3 more months. And she's been lamenting that, you know, we can't make any December plans without her.
Oh, yeah.
Because her baby's due in November, which means she'll be like at home with the baby in December.
Oh God, I haven't thought about December plans.
Right? Oh no, no, no. We're like, girl, listen, we've booked things. We're ready for December here, there. But it was good. Yeah. Got to really, really rest a lot. Just started, the book, The Lost Boys of Bird Island.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, I've got an email about that.
Just got it. Into it just a tiny bit, so I'm ready to finish that. Then I'll be able to tell you guys all about the juiciness in there. But yeah, good restful weekend on my side.
Juiciness is quite the phrase you want to use with that book.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Okay, I mean the sauciness of the expose.
So someone called Gideon sent me a note.
No other way.
We couldn't find Bird Island on a map,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't even know this place existed. Neither did he. Says, I was listening to your show the other day. You had a discussion about the lost birds, boys of Bird Island. Being from Jeffreys Bay, I myself was also unaware of the existence of an island close to PE. However, I was intrigued by this, and this is what I found.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Wikipedia page about Algoa Bay, which mentions this island. I've opened the article and pasted it below. So he says, have a happy day, filled with laughter, money, and pussy. Isn't that nice of Gideon? That's what Gideon said.
Laughter, okay. Money, pussy.
Yeah. So here's the Bird Island group is a small group of islands, which are, they're directly south of the far eastern end of Algoa Bay. And they're in that little curve, so you should be able to find them quite easily. I couldn't find them the other day. They're tiny little islands, though. Mm. Hardly, I mean, there's hardly anything growing on them. They're not big enough for fresh water.
What's on them? Just birds and boys.
There's a lighthouse.
Well,
there's a
lighthouse. Summarizes it.
There's a lighthouse on the biggest island. And there are a couple of buildings, which obviously the apartheid regime put up there.
Well, they were just sort of holding cells.
Well, I don't know what the apartheid regime did, but they used to find interesting strategic places like this, and they developed, you know, their nuclear exploits just west of Pretoria. They had a place in the middle of the Karoo. These oaks really had some secretive shit going on.
Well, anyway, when you're that paranoid and you have that much money to do what you want with.
And power.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knew what was going on except these government people, because the rest of us were kept in the dark about everything they did. You know, we talk about corruption now. Thank God we even know about the corruption now. There was no way to know about that stuff back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it was a sign of the times, and it was all over. I mean, we didn't have access to what we have access to now.
Hell no.
Conversations weren't being had that are being having now.
That's right, and I'm very glad that you started drinking so early.
Because I haven't.
These islands, so it's Bird Island, Seal Island, Stag Island, they lie in close proximity to the east of the St. Croix group, due east of Port Elizabeth. And the nearest landfall is a place called Woody Cape, which is part of the Addo Elephant National Park.
Hmm.
It's only 19 hectares big. Bird Island is the largest of these islands. It is relatively flat, rises to 9 meters above the sea. That's all. Stag Island's even smaller. Most of the island group is covered by sparse growth of mixed vegetation, dominated by the fleshy herb Mesembryanthemum.
That's good to know.
Wow.
Next time I need it in a recipe.
That's all it says. And then there's a picture of it with just this lonely little lighthouse and some crappy little building. Hmm. Who knew, huh? So there's this island, and Sia's reading the book, and it's not fiction. Because I didn't know what to make of this.
Hmm.
And these boys were apparently taken there for all kinds of nefarious purposes by the old regime. So you see, we're figuring stuff out little bit by little bit.
Yeah, they used to use state helicopters.
True.
And F.W. de Klerk is horrified about this.
Oh, is he? Horrified.
Yeah. He wants a special inquiry into the pedophile ring.
Oh, really?
It makes me wonder, without going down a path of feeling anxiety and like going crazy, how much we don't know.
Well, this is it. And you could drive yourself crazy if you do... Because everything will suddenly become terrifying. You're like, oh, we don't know that. We don't know this. I mean, there are conspiracy theories all over the world about things that are just ridiculous. Like, you know, the Bigfoot, or that the
Loch Ness Monster.
Or that there are lizard people and they actually control the world. And that Hillary Clinton is in charge of a pedophile sex ring. I mean, you
still.
She's still.
Is that still going?
That pizza thing.
Hillary's. Yeah, there's Pizzagate. Yeah, I mean, you look this stuff up, you can't believe the amount of lunacy. But I don't want to know all the stuff. It's just intriguing when you stumble upon something. Because I mean, who would have known about this stuff?
I'm surprised that you hadn't picked it up because you used to have this obsession with Google Maps and you found where government had started building things. And
I was fascinated by that stuff. I still am.
Meanwhile, right off our own coast.
Yeah, there was this little island and Magnus Malan was running a pedophile sex ring. Who knew?
It's the Eastern Cape, huh?
Uh-oh.
It's the Eastern Cape. There is a world of things going on there. Not always good. Seldom good. But, I mean, there's a world of things going on there.
Seldom.
Do you do anything fun this weekend?
Not really. Although there is one exciting thing. You know, I have this building in Melville.
Yes.
And we've just signed up a new restaurant and it's going to be really excited. The few people I've told, because it's all hush-hush, are super excited. They're going to be activities on the roof, which have a really amazing view of Joburg, 360 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And so it's all coming together.
That's fantastic.
That's exciting.
Good.
Nice
God.
For my little burb.
Yeah, I finally found I've got this flat in Sandton I've been trying to flog for the last 2 years or whatever.
Mm.
I finally found a tenant. It's been sitting on its own like a dairy. I was so worried the place would just be, you know, empty forever or worse, occupied by the EFF. Eventually found someone who's going to rent it. So ask, good for you, good for me. At least the economy seems to be giving us some hope.
Yes.
There are a lot of people getting less so.
Mm. Do you know, it's interesting because Friday afternoon, I went to this new restaurant. They're just about to open in a few weeks and it's this whole complex. Firstly, it's in the East Rand. So I needed my passport and some batkos just to go there.
Sure.
But it's this fully vegan restaurant that they're building in Bedford View. And
vegan
it's this
on the East Rand. Well, you said Bedford View. That's not quite the East Rand.
And that counts for me. I had to leave my central.
Yeah. All right.
That's
just aggressive Sandton, really.
But it's on this property where they're building a whole bunch of fun things. That's where Comic-Con is coming to Africa for the first time in a few weeks.
Wow.
And that's where Comic-Con will be based. So really, when you talk about the economy, it was quite cool to see this behind-the-scenes look at what they're bringing in internationally, the different sites and the buildings and the props from the different comic movies and franchises. And then got to experience this fully vegan meal. It was awesome.
Joburg investors have been saying recently, international investors have been saying of Joburg that that's where they're putting their money. They've stopped putting it into Cape Town, and they're focusing on Joburg.
I think that water thing kind of Cape Town over a little bit.
Worked to our advantage there.
I'll take it. Damn, I'll take all of it. Hey Nola, what's happening?
Sup, morning team.
How was your weekend?
It was very chilled, you know. I really didn't get up to much. But while I was going through, I was just scrolling through Facebook and I saw this video that just traumatized me. I tried sending it to you, but I wasn't able to
download it
for some reason. I don't know what it's supposed to be, really. It's a church, you know, these, what do they call him, this prophet?
Oh, those Bushiri. Guys. Yeah, Bushiri,
It was just so sad, man. It was very excruciating.
What happened? I mean, what was going on?
So basically, he just starts yelling out a name, and you know the church is really full. You know this, like it's a lot of people. And this lady jumps out, and he runs excitedly to stage, and he starts prophesying.
Yeah.
I'm using air quotes because I mean,
you don't believe in this shit. Yeah, okay.
And then he started saying things about her marriage, her kids, and he keeps saying, I see four, I see two. And then she's like, oh, that's the number of my house. That's my house number. I'm like, come on, really?
Good
and
guesses.
it got really bad to a point that the husband had also to be called out to the audience. And then this prophet says to the wife, you need to stop being abusive. You're abusive. And she yells excitedly, yes, Major One, deliver me. I'm like, what is this? And they started talking about, you know, he started prophesying about how she hit her husband
Good
with a brick, you know,
in his quite mouth a hit.
Because she thought that he had to work, and it turned out that he had slept out at some girl's place, blah blah blah. And oh god, it was bad. Like, it's just
what
people
is that?
Airing out their dirty laundry out there, and I'm like, how much are you getting paid for this performance? Because this is not right.
Well, you know, it's a performance, right? I mean, this is what's so ridiculous, is all those other people in that church who are probably paying to be there. I think you have to pay something. They tithe you or whatever. They're all having to watch this spectacle. They probably believe it's real. They're so gullible.
Of course they do.
They're so gullible. And then this guy, meanwhile, this prophet, what I mean, to call yourself a prophet, there is no such thing. If you were a prophet, I mean, maybe they have superior powers because they've worked out how to get money out of gullible people, which is obviously a talent.
That's a power, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But to live like this, to take advantage of people like this, what a horrible, nasty way to spend your existence.
They're the only one in that whole church who knows it's all a lie.
Mm. All of it.
Yet they live it.
They're self-conscious frauds. They can't believe they're getting away with it.
And sometimes I ask myself, though, is it all that bad when, if you question the people who go to these churches, they would defend their prophet, their pastor, right to the end.
Yeah.
So if they are fine with it, if they feel some sort of security, if they're happy to hand over wads of cash, then okay, then
sure. Go for it. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, someone is just going to say, I see a 7 and I see a 3.
Yeah.
What do you see there?
Well, that's because I've got 3 children.
And they're 7 days of the week.
I was born in a year ending with a 7. Oh, that's correct. That's what I saw in the prophecy. There's no such power. Humans don't have the ability to prophesize anything. Humans are just like all other mammals, trying to stumble around the earth making sense of things. That's all. Occasionally we bump into each other like great big oxen. Sometimes we figure out important things, but none of it has to do with the ability to predict the future. Nor has it ever. These people who carry on. I heard someone the other day at a dinner party, they were rabbiting on about Nostradamus. I'm like, will you get over this nonsense? Nostradamus. He probably predicted a billion things. He got 4 or 5 of them right. Now everybody thinks, oh, well, he had powers.
Yeah, if anyone predicted a billion things, they'd get 4 or 5 right.
Exactly. I have some very good news. The sun is up usually by about 6 o'clock. Isn't that exciting?
Honestly.
And that hasn't happened for a few months.
I was saying about that to Leanne as we were walking in, saying it's the little things that you have to hold on to and happy about on a Monday. And one of those is just see the sun rising.
Exactly. So you can give us a call. Tell us what you're up to this Monday morning. 0861-555-189. Ass will be giving us some headlines along with me in a couple of minutes' time. And we've got lots of other good and important things to talk about. So one of the things I wanted to get into, we have so many emails, and I always forget to do these, and then we end up with piles and piles of them by the end of the week. So here's one. If you're going to read this email, expect that you don't ya-da-da through it. You don't like when people cut your podcasts and take it out of context, so the whole thing below should be read as a whole.
Okay, good instruction.
Whoa. I feel your analysis of the ANC and EFF's policy on expropriation without compensation is very monotone. Instead of putting forward better viable alternatives, you're just pointing out... Oh, sorry, I wanted to throw up there for a second. You're just pointing out how unfair and wrong it is. The DA's inability as an opposition to put forward credible alternatives has brought us to this point. A democracy's strength is built on the quality of the opposition. Holding the moral high ground isn't enough. Credible, radical policies are required. Governments have many ways of achieving their goals. Changing the constitution is weak and lazy. An alternative would be to be a new ring-fenced property tax on agricultural land. A nominal value of 0.25% per year on the land value would allow the government to purchase large amounts of land every year. There would also be enough funds to train and, more importantly, assist people who want to farm the newly acquired land. This tax could be a double-edged sword, allowing the landowners to value their own property to determine the amount of tax to pay and allowing the government to expropriate any land at that declared value. So that's... a couple of points in here that are very good. I mean,
well done for not yadda yadda yadda-ing through it.
I didn't yadda yadda it. So first thing, you're absolutely right. Like, the DA are so useless that if they just had a, if they had a pair of balls and they actually had the means to articulate a position and a viable alternative, I absolutely agree with you. Things would be a lot better. Things would be better understood. There would be proper debate in Parliament, but they're just kowtowing because they love populism. And Musi Maimane wants more Twitter followers. That's what he's after. So they're terrified to say anything that, you know, a very loud, vocal bunch of lunatics who support the EFF online are going to say to them if they don't go along with the party line. So that's absolutely true. As for this tax, I mean, I'm always nervous. Any new taxes on anybody in this country makes me nervous because the government is, by definition, bad. And giving them your tax money is an immoral thing to do. I genuinely believe, like, it has become, there is now a situation which is before you, where you have to determine how it is possible for you to pay as little tax as possible to this rotten government, because what they're going to do with your tax money is immoral things. I just read a story yesterday about how the people who do the gardens around Parliament.
Did you?
Did you see that story?
Yes.
I've got to actually look at this
number. And they get to maintain it for the next 5 years.
It's insane.
And they get paid how much?
I'm going to look it up now because I actually retweeted it yesterday. I don't even go on Twitter. I don't have it on my phone.
They're going to get paid more than $250 a day?
If I'm not mistaken, it's $3,750,000.
Yeah, here we are.
Or it's either 37.
No, 375 million rand to paint Parliament and maintain its garden over 5 years. Mm. It's a company by the name of AFMS. It must stand for all the fucking money stolen. AFMS. It can't be anything else, right?
It's money. It's AFMS.
For 5 years. So that's 75 million rands per year that they're getting. About 6,250,000 per month. There we go. That's what they're getting. Just to paint Parliament and maintain the gardens.
Why must you paint Parliament every month? Do they not have good paint? Oh, it's rained. Oh, crap. There goes the paint. Like, you paint every so often.
Mm. It's amazing, right?
They're painting each other?
So, to go back to the email, I suppose this is potentially one way to do it.
It's clever, Gareth, but the whole thing about governments acquiring more land, don't they already have so much land?
Well,
there's so many other instances.
That's the other thing.
What are they doing with what they have?
So, apart from all the idea of the tax, for example, the idea of the training, I like all of that. But do you really think that this government is going to do that with the money? You know what they'll do? They'll probably buy the land and palm it off to people in the machinery. The loyal cadres will get some land. And then, of course, that doesn't help the ordinary black farmer.
Of course not.
I mean, the ordinary black farmers, if you listen to their voices during these land hearings, they're not saying they want expropriation without compensation in any way. In fact, they're saying the opposite. They want current land rights to be protected by the Constitution, not changed.
But what you'll find as well is that the land will go to the average black farmer, but they'll be paying a high rental. Mm. The people who've been given the land won't even – there'll just be another paycheck for them.
That's correct. They'll find a way to make it – plus, I don't want the government owning more land than it already owns. The government has plenty of land. It needs to parcel that off immediately to whoever it can. I do want to play this, though, quickly, because Bill Maher, you know I like Bill Maher, and we probably don't have the same political views, but I like the guy's brain, and he's a stand-up, a real pillar of free speech in America. He kind of climbed into a lot of lefties in America who don't seem to understand that free speech means you've got to stand up for the people you don't agree with. Free speech isn't standing up for the guys you do agree with or saying what you want to say. It's being able to hear what people you disagree with say. It's a very straightforward thing, but a lot of people don't seem to get that. And you know, you hear about this person being banned and this person being deplatformed. So there's this dude called Alex Jones, who's a nutcase, right? I mean, you could listen to him. He thinks Obama was a Muslim terrorist born in God knows where, in Afghanistan. he thinks that Hillary Clinton is an evil pedophile who runs a sex ring.
Oh, wow.
He's a complete nutcase, but as Bill Maher said, if you chase him, he's been banned from Twitter, he's been banned from Facebook, he's been banned from social media. So he started his own app, and it's gone like crazy. People are downloading it left, right, and center because they've turned him into a villain on the left, and the right therefore think, well, he's their hero. It's very bad. So Bill just said, this banning of people has got to stop. Listen to this quickly.
Alex Jones, who is not my friend and who tells crazy lies about me, is thrown off Twitter, I think, and Facebook and a few other platforms. I think he's going to...
Thank God!
Well, if you're a liberal, you're supposed to be for free speech. That's free speech for the speech you hate. That's what free speech means. We're losing the thread of the concepts that are important to this country. If you care about the real American shit or you don't, and if you do, it goes for every side. I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak.
Sure.
I mean, it's so simple, right? Yeah. He puts it so simply. It's so true.
And it actually needs to be heard as well. You can't just let them speak and block your ears and go, la, la, la.
Well, it's like sticking your head in the sand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to go away. People aren't going to stop having bad ideas just because you deplatform them.
Mm.
Throughout history, long before there was social media and before a group of activists online started saying what was and wasn't unacceptable and was and wasn't acceptable, people used to air bad ideas. Mm. I mean, they'd either do it from the corner of the street screaming like a madman, or they would publish articles, or they would send out pamphlets. I mean, if you read about how humans have been doing this kind of thing for the last couple of hundred years, you'll realize that you can't shut this down anyway. It will always find a way out. Now, this goddamned Alex Jones, his app is like the number one app on the App Store and the Google Play Store.
And people, excuse me, people are buying what he's saying,
right? Of course. And now they may not have heard about him before, but now they're hearing about him because he's been banned. It's dumb, dumb, dumb. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there are lots of other good stories. Let's get to some of those. The five things you need to know today. So, ProKid's widow, remember he died not so long ago, said, I've never met anyone with such grace and gratitude. Hundreds attended his funeral service at the University of Johannesburg Soweto campus. And he was laid to rest on Sunday. The 37-year-old rapper was buried at the West Park Cemetery in Johannesburg. His wife, Ayanda, shared some of the memories she had with him. I'm thinking about all the Sunday afternoons we shared listening to the sweet melodies of Teddy Pendergrass, singing and dancing with stars in our faces. What have we done? What I have now are those memories that I will hold. Isn't that nice?
Man.
A woman who just had some nice personal things to say about her husband. I think that's beautiful. And obviously very sad about the whole situation. 100,000 Rand reward is offered to catch the Western Cape cop killers. Now, first of all, only $100,000
for killers?
Yeah, I mean,
who are killing cops?
Surely we can rustle up like $1 million. We seem to be able to throw money at Eskom.
Well, there's got to be more in the kitty.
Yeah, if cop killers, if people who've killed policemen, I mean, that's outrageous crime.
It's taken very seriously.
Yeah, you would think it was taken very seriously.
Not here.
But like $1 million. The Western Cape Community Safety Department has offered a 100,000 Rand reward for information that will result in the conviction of two cop killers. And the two off-duty constables were killed in separate incidents in Delft and Khayelitsha on Friday. Both officers were robbed of their firearms. The department has condemned the attack, saying it cannot be tolerated. So the MEC, Dan Plato, said that the murder of police officers for seemingly no other reason than to obtain their firearms are disgusting acts of criminality.
Ooh.
Yeah. The South African Police Service says no arrests have been made, and the Hawks are investigating the matter.
Hmm.
But they need some info. And the Western Cape is so riddled with gangsterism that they now have to offer money. But go on, like out the guys, even if it is $100,000. That's a nice little paycheck.
Yeah.
So I would say if you know anything, if you know anybody who knows anything, give the information to Dan Plato and let him give you the $100,000. All right, what else is up?
Well, also in the Western Cape, everyone seems to be driving around drunk.
What?
Yeah, 35 Western Cape motorists arrested just this weekend.
Wow.
14 of them were in Georg. They're in George.
Whereabouts?
Georg.
Okay. Yeah.
And
Ben was just saying how great George is the other day. Did you realize how many people drive drunk there?
No idea.
They think it's great too. So, yeah, it's three of them were truck drivers.
Jesus. I mean, a truck is a hard thing
it's
to drive.
It's really, really hard to drive.
And you're driving a truck drunk. No wonder we have such carnage on our roads.
Jeez.
Those 18-wheeler things, I get nervous just parking next to them, let alone driving next to them.
Just overtaking them. And imagine it's swerving all over the place.
Because the guy's like finishing his third bottle of vodka.
Yeah. That's good crazy, Lord. Man. Google may launch its own smart display.
Yeah.
And that's, it's a smart speaker. That's what it's called. Mm. It's a smart speaker with a display. So like these speakers that we've seen from
all. Oh yeah, the ones like they give you the lyrics to songs.
Yeah, we've seen all of right. those. Yeah. This one comes with a display so that you can use it hands-free, for instance, if you're in the kitchen or alone in the bedroom. That last example I just put in.
Yes, okay. Alone in the bedroom.
Mm.
But I mean, that would be a great place to have Google Home. I know Greg who works with us. He's got this, he talks to Google. He says to Google, "Google, play Cliff Central." And then it does.
So clever.
And someone else was telling me they were listening to us the one day, and Ben was talking about it, and it activated his Google on his phone.
There's a parrot, a number of YouTube videos with this parrot who has got a friendship with Alexa. And it orders a whole lot of stuff for shopping. And this woman couldn't understand what was happening, and so she started recording and leaving a camera near the bird's cage because she was just getting these random orders for things from the parrot.
Seed. Yeah.
That is actually, I think, the one thing I needed to hear on a Monday morning.
100 kilograms of seed on a Monday.
Well, the Western Cape is also the place of traffic accidents, likely related to the previous story about drunk driving, because the N7 was closed in both directions following a fatal car accident over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 3 people died in a car crash. They were all head-on collisions. One person escaped with serious injuries. Cape Traffic Chief Kenny Africa says another 2 sustained minor injuries. We've got traffic officers redirecting traffic into the alternate routes. So please, if you're on the N7, be patient and we'll reopen the road as soon as possible. But apparently that happened in the dead of night last night. And that's what you need to know today. Let's turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Quick update on cryptocurrency. Bitcoin $6,494. And Ethereum at $300. Ben, what do you have for us?
Man United lose. Sorry, that's the first story I looked at. The box win, but is it a little bit hollow? And India have turned the tables against England in the third test. Now, as you know, during Super Rugby, you might have thought I was a bit cynical by declaring the Crusaders the winners with about, I don't know, 2 months to go.
Yeah.
Great, my laptop just died. I'm having a Monday.
Oh, so, yeah,
you're having
it's giving me
Monday.
It's giving me all the Asian writing again. Okay, I'm a professional. So, with about 2 months to go, I said the Crusaders are going to win. Well, the Rugby Championship is decided the first week every single year, essentially. Unless the Aussies beat the All Blacks in Australia land, there's no chance. So the All Blacks run in a 38-13 waltz of a victory. These guys don't even celebrate at the end anymore. It's like, cool. So even though the Box did win, they scored like 6 tries to 3. It was very comfortable. Junchi scored twice. Mapimpi scored twice. I mean, the backs they got a lot of ball and they made a lot of go forward with it. But no one's going to beat the All Blacks again.
Mm.
So now we've got this showpiece event. So now we've got 2 showpiece events. The Super Rugby, where New Zealand team essentially wins. I mean, good on the Lions making it to finals, but that's mostly because of the conference system. And then Rugby Championship, which is like a good way to go out and, I don't know, take clients to watch the Box or something. But the actual things are, New Zealand have won it already. 1 week in.
It's a farce.
It'll be decided in October. But yes, well done New Zealand again. Because you just absolutely hammered Australia away. Which is essentially your toughest game. Because even if you lose to the Box at the end, because that's the end match, they've already kind of summed it up. Because if they win all the other matches, Argentina are going to be so toilet this year in the Rugby Championship. These guys aren't progressing. They're kind of becoming like the Bangladesh of rugby because they're given a chance to play with the big boys, but they're not getting better. They're actually getting worse somehow. And that's where we are with the rugby. So in cricket, well, the Indians, they took an absolute trousering in the first 2 tests. There's no 2 ways to describe it, really. Anderson was bowling well because the conditions were suiting him. The batsmen were scoring runs, and basically no one knew how to play cricket for India except for Kohli. Well, this time around, England are the ones who are getting absolutely stuffed. Now, Indians had a good first of it in the first innings. I think Kohli scored 97, and a couple of other guys, I think Rehani also chipped in there. But now the English, well, they were absolutely rolled out. Early 100 score there, and then Indians didn't enforce the follow-on because that's kind of the only way they could have got them back into the match. So the Indians just piled on more pressure, piled on more runs, and without the overhead conditions, well, their bowlers just aren't as effective as they normally are. So that's, you can look forward to today, to day three, very much in charge there. And remember, it's the 5-test series, this. So India are, well, they could get back into it. If they win this, they'll be 2-1 down, and there's 2 tests remaining. Bloom Celtic, they won again in the PSL. And the reason I say is because Steve Compella, who was given the arse from Chiefs, is now doing pretty well there. So it's 3 from 3. They're on 8 points. 9 points is Wits. They're still in the lead there. And they are currently in the PSL, despite the fact they lost to Supersport United 1-0 over the weekend. Pirates lost. Chiefs still don't have a win, but that's okay for the PSL. English Premier League-wise, well, Man City, they won 6-1 against Huddersfield. How just emphatic. You'll see a massive divide this year, I think, when these guys really, really kick on. And 6-1 is a huge result because teams like Man United, they lost 3-2 to Brighton. So Jose Mourinho has been basically like a child.
I saw Gord Law is crying about this on Facebook this morning.
Mourinho has been like a child where he's just been moaning and moaning about not signing new players. And he desperately needs a central defender. But these guys have big squads, right? They have such big squads that they actually turf players off to like other teams, like Brighton, on loans because they don't want to pay their wages.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, I know to be the best, you've got to have the best and all that kind of stuff. But why can't he just be better with what he's got? Jose has spent more money. I mean, Jose spends money like a disgruntled housewife in Chelsea. Like every day. He spent more money in that Premier League, I think, in like 2 years than Arsene Wenger did in his entire life. This guy always wants more and more and more and more and more, more players. He's like the ANC. He just wants more and more and more and more and more money that isn't his. And what's he really doing with it? Sure, he broke the bank with Pogba and Pogba's fighting with him. The guy just can't get it right. So they lost 3-2. Arsenal lost 3-2 as well to Chelsea, but that was predictable. And Spurs, they managed to beat Fulham 3-1. In the golf, Brant Snedeker shot the 59 on round 1 of the Wyndham Championships. He held on. He went wire to wire to win that one on 21 under par. And sadly, in local golf news, this week is the Sun International Wild Coast event in the Sunshine Tour.
Oh, but they, over the weekend, can't play, yeah.
Over the weekend, some... Look, the stories so far are quite hazy, but one of the sources come out and said that people got fired this week for illegal striking, so they took to the golf course. They essentially dug up 6 greens in the back nine, and they left a sign saying this is only the start. It's so sad because that golf course obviously brings money to the local community. This event as itself will bring money to the community, but now this is being...
And now, of course, all the caddies and the greenkeepers and everyone else is going... There are more jobs at stake.
So it's just the ripple effect because some people just don't know how to communicate or articulate their problems or just be reasonable. You know, this is another thing about these negotiations or whatever it is, whether it be land, whether it be jobs, whatever it is, there's just no reason being thrown out here. So the front nine's fine at the moment, but yeah, 6 of the greens in the back nine are dug up with shovels.
Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, look, you put a rowdy golf day through a golf course where they're not repairing their pitch marks from balls. The greens take a bit of a battering. These guys have gone with it with spades, and it's just so sad to see. Look, that's pretty much all I've committed to memory, so it's with my laptop still looking,
pretty good,
looking
Ben.
At me.
That's not bad.
That was pretty much
Let's rate that out of 10, everybody. I'd say it's about an 8.5.
I reckon 8.75 at least.
And I did that prep while looking for the keys I couldn't find.
Quite
so
the professional, with no glasses on.
And I didn't watch any sport over the weekend.
It's amazing. Well, all right, now let's turn our attention to Anthea, who I haven't seen Anthea for a couple of days because the last couple of Mondays I've been away. And she's here. She's in the studio. She's ready to give us the latest. Aren't you, Anthea?
Good morning.
Do you want your song?
Of course I want.
Yeah, let me play your song quickly. Let's give her the original.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
Yes.
She works hard.
You look like you are either on your way to gym or you've just got back from gym.
Just got out the swimming pool. Swimming costumes still on. Yeah, 2 kilometers we swam this morning. We're in full preparation for our race on the 30th of September.
What is this race you're doing?
The Half Ironman. Remember I told you, in Portugal. In Cashgaish.
Yes. Yeah, well, I laughed.
Fabulous.
No pictures, Ben. Stop that right now.
But Anthea,
look at this.
I'm taking a picture of Garrett.
Okay.
Anthea, I'm ready to carry your bags, carry your goggles, give you water, whatever you need. Mind. Fabulous. Let's all go to Portugal.
We have a deal.
Half Iron Man, look at you. So what's going on in the economy at the moment?
Yeah, so the Turkey drama is still playing out.
Erdogan, what's the Turkey drama?
Well, Erdogan insisting that the rest... Now, all we need is an American president to pardon her on right. Thanksgiving.
So what, Erdogan of Turkey, what's he done?
President Erdogan insisting that the U.S. is still waging economic war on him. It really has become a tit-for-tat situation. Erdogan, earlier on in this month... last month, appointed his son-in-law as the finance minister, yeah. Started interfering in the central bank, insisted that the central bank shouldn't raise interest rates. He called it the mother and father of all evil, higher interest rates. But we all know that sometimes a country needs higher interest rates to contain inflation, right? So things have gone really pear-shaped over there.
What usually happens when you appoint a family member to be finance minister? It's not a good sign.
No. Unfortunately for us, of course, we all get thrown into this emerging markets bucket, and we are definitely an emerging economy. The rand hit 15 against the US dollar twice last week. I see it's pulled back nicely this morning. It's 14.68 against the dollar. I mean, that was helped a little bit by a Moody's report that said South Africa's looking at fiscal slippage, additional fiscal slippage of around 0.4% of GDP.
Fiscal slippage. Anthony, that is your, out of your top five phrases, that's got to be top of the pops. You've had some classics for the fiscal slippage.
Reminds me of that Harry Enfield pharmacist.
Harry Enfield pharmacist.
Yeah, he might say, "Oh, I see you've had some fiscal slippage."
I've got something for that.
Yeah.
Take this cream.
Rub this cream all over your fiscal slippage and you'll be much better by tomorrow. So hang on, what is it saying about our, what is fiscal slippage?
So that's our deficit or our, what's the opposite of deficit?
Surplus,
thank you. to GDP. So we're looking at we were expecting 3.6 to 4% this year. And Moody's are saying, yes, it's not looking good. Our deficit will increase, but they think that we'll be able to stabilize our debt at about 60% of GDP. Mm. And we'll be able to return to 3.5% deficit in 2020. Mm. So all eyes, I think, starting now on the October medium-term budget speech.
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, just on the macroeconomics, we also had a big bank release a report last week saying that we are one of two emerging markets that possibly could be the next big domino to fall, because in March it was, Argentina already had to get an IMF bailout. Mm. Now Turkey, you know, the Turkish lira has depreciated by, I think it's 35% already this year.
Right.
It's bad. And they're saying South Africa and Brazil are next if we're not careful. And really, the things that they're citing, first of all, populist politics. Shall I say that again? Populist politics. The fact that we have a large current account deficit.
Let's just be very clear about that. There is a cost for this kind of nonsense.
Absolutely. If you're going to promise and change constitution and make promises that you really don't have a budget to meet, then definitely there's a cost to it. As it is, we already have high external debt exposure. And foreigners own, this is another one of the things they cited, that foreigners own a large percentage of our debt. So in South Africa, it's 40%, which I didn't think it was that large. It's not small. And if they decide that they don't like South Africa, they'll sell it, and then we're in trouble.
Sure.
So it's all South Africa on a knife's edge, as usual. We're so used to it, right?
What happens, remember R.W. Johnson sketched this scenario where if South Africa deteriorates in terms of our economy to the degree where we need an IMF bailout, that a lot of very unpleasant things come into play. I mean, I'd like to be more informed. I'll go and reread what he wrote about it. But it does seem to me that that's pretty much when the shit hits the fan.
I think that's when you lose control of your country's budget, basically, because the IMF steps in and says, right, austerity measures now in place, and you know what happens then, right? You can't expand, you can't build bridges, you can't, no social spending, government will have to cut down, so maybe it's not such a bad thing. And really, you're just not in control of your economy anymore, and you're paying huge amounts of money flowing out of the country, which you needed
debt.
To borrow.
Yeah. All right.
And then our boy, Elon Musk, is a marked man again because the SEC are officially investigating him, finally, because of his tweets saying that he was going to take the company private when the share was trading at $360. And he was going to take it private at $420 a share. By the way, I didn't figure this out until this week. $420? Anybody else get it?
Yeah, high.
So Leo and Henry were laughing at me the other day because I was like, hey, I read this article that said this. And they were saying, well, maybe he was a little bit high when he tweeted.
But you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because it's kind of insider trading?
It's insider trading, for sure. Absolutely. Imagine if you owned Tesla, or you didn't own Tesla shares and was trading at 360, and Elon Musk said, I will pay you $420 a share for your share, you'd go and buy them. You'd go and buy them all the way up to 420 or 419 because you know any differential is a profit. So he was pushing his share higher, basically. He, of course, went on TV in an interview in tears, crying, saying he's under pressure. He's been taking Ambien because he can't sleep. Life's terrible, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. When you're that rich, you cannot play the sympathy card.
I saw him arguing with Arianna Huffington, who's like become the world's biggest sleep activist. And she was saying, Elon, you have to go to tell people you missed the... She speaks like that. She goes, Elon...
She needs sleep.
Yeah, she needs a lot of... She was saying, you can't do this. It's bad for you. The Ambien, sleeplessness. You can't run a company like this. You can't let your workers work like this. So he replied as like, oh, I've just got back from the factory. Now I'm exhausted. It's either failure or success. Ford and Tesla, the only two American car companies that turned a profit, blah, blah, blah. He's not being friendly with anybody either.
And nobody wants to see a CEO of a big listed company act like that.
No.
And so his share's under pressure again.
Correct.
And then the biggest news on the JSE last week was the reporting of a Chinese company, Tencent, which sent Naspers down 8%, which of course is a problem because Naspers is now 22% of the JSE. One share is 1/5 of the JSE. It's shocking. The problem with Tencent, gross margins were under pressure, operating expenses were up, so those are moving exactly in the wrong direction. And most of those expenses were because of increased sales and marketing. So Tencent made only, see here, this number's for you, $2.6 billion of revenue, net income, in the last 3 months. It's like shocking, right? Okay. A company in trouble. Anyway, they were told by authorities to remove a game called Monster Hunter because the authorities had received a significant amount of complaints, they said.
What, Monster Hunter? Is it bad?
Yeah, it's quite violent. And then their other game they recently released, PUBG, Player Unknown's Battleground. Please tell me you guys have tried it.
No.
Oh, come on.
Are we missing out on something?
Oh, yes. I have not played games in decades. And this is, listen, in the name of research, that was 2 hours of my life.
Player missing?
PUBG, Player Unknown's Battleground.
Player missing. Got it so wrong.
Something's missing.
All right. So we've got to play this game.
Yeah, but the problem is that the Chinese government have not allowed Tencent to generate revenue from it yet, and they've not given the green light to introduce the desktop version. So this is their next big money spinner. And the problem with Tencent, of course, is that it's always been a social media and a gaming platform, and they're now moving into mobile money. So the analysts are wondering what's going to happen to the company.
Well, are you wondering? Because you were always quite bullish on them.
Oh, I definitely am, yes. I'm very nervous. You know, it makes up such a large portion of Tencent. And even though Naspers is trading at a discount, but these companies are so volatile, you have to worry. The other problem with Tencent is that the Chinese government said that in their mobile money operating business, they weren't allowed to charge interest in the differential between when they take money from a client and they pay it on. So this is like mobile payments, right? So if you want to pay me through a mobile platform, the company takes your money, 2 days later pays me. That 2 days worth of interest adds up to a lot of money if you're adding billions of rands or dollars in their case.
Right.
And so the Chinese government has said they have to stop that. So of course, that's a revenue stream that will be...
This Chinese government is so capitalist. I like it. They really are. They totally understand capitalism. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, then a couple of local companies reported, Standard Bank, Goldfields, Exxaro, City Lodge, and really it really is showing that South Africa is, the economy is under huge amounts of pressure. I mean, Standard Bank diluted headline earnings per share was up 5%, really, really nothing. Headline earnings were down in South Africa by 3%. That's pretty bad. Mm. Really, they were saved. Standard Bank was saved by their operations on the rest of the continent. Goldfields, South Deep, is restructuring, and it's an absolute disaster. The only good company that reported was Exxaro. And really, with them, it was a structuring thing. They'd previously done very well. They managed to contain costs much earlier on in the downturn of the commodity cycle.
Yeah.
And so now, yeah, playing, you know, a decent dividend, managing their Kumba operations very well. Revenue up 14%. City Lodge is a shocking one because those hotels went from an occupancy rate of 65% to 59%. And it doesn't seem a lot, but it's actually huge. And all it's saying, what it's pointing to, because it's a business person's hotel, City Lodge, mm-hmm. is that businesses and business confidence is flagging and that people are not traveling to go and get new or take advantage of new business opportunities. And that's really kind of the shame of it. We need to do something about this economy, except I've been saying that for 2 years now.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
What happened to the Ramaphosa? And our finance minister, dead quiet, which is what you want from a finance minister, let's be fair, after all the grandstanding of the previous one.
He's prepping his October medium budget speech.
That's
right?
A lot of time to prep.
Who is still the finance minister?
You see?
No, I'm being serious.
I just thought about it now.
Grandstanding,
I can't tell
you. Who's the new one then?
I can't tell you.
Is there one?
Of course.
Nthlantlanene, isn't it?
Of course we have. Anthony, are you joking?
whose fiscal leakage are we talking
fiscal
about?
Fiscal slippage.
So Nthlantlanene has been very quiet, and I'm saying that's what you want in a finance minister. Oh, okay. But this economy kind of needs someone to say, here are the guidelines that we should follow if we're going to try to correct things that are going wrong. Anyway, there's nothing we can do about it. From our mouths to their ears, let's hope.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Thanks, guys.
Very good. It's time for Said by Sia. Let's see what we've got going on there. Anthea, we'll see you in a week's time. Sia, what do you got for us?
Well, this week I have a clip for you after this weekend when we found out about the death of Kofi Annan. Mm. And if you don't know, Kofi Annan died at the age of 80. And what is interesting as we look back on his life to me was that his specific tenure at the United Nations, where he spent 9 years, really was quite a lot going on during that time. He was at the helm at the UN when the 9/11 attacks happened, mm-hmm. when the US-led invasion of Iraq happened in 2003. He was also there as he mediated in some of the biggest crises of the... Is it crises?
Crises.
Crises. Yeah. There we go. Of the 21st century, including the Syrian civil war. So he's really done quite a lot in the past couple of years, and he passed away over the weekend at the age of 80. But I just thought this morning...
He was just here a couple of days ago for that Obama lecture. Yeah.
Absolutely. People were... I saw a friend of mine who posted about seeing him at the lecture. He was waving at the crowds, really chatting to people. He looked good and healthy. So when the statement came out that he'd passed away and said he passed away after short illness, it really does emphasize how short it was. But for this morning, I have a clip of you, a clip for you, rather, mm-hmm. of Kofi Annan. This is one of his final public speeches. It was actually in April, where he was speaking in front of the Global Citizens audience. Global Citizen, of course, is the organization that has a lot of South Africans and a big hub and a bub because they bring all of these major artists to the country in December. But back in April of 2018, he was just emphasizing to young people how we don't have to wait for anyone else to make a change, but it's actually us who can take the helm and we can lead.
There he is. This is Kofi Annan.
Change comes from people. You are never too young to lead. And we are never too old to learn. That is my generation. I've seen young people all over the world stepping out and assuming leadership. I plead with you not to hesitate when you can lead, and when you can do something. So please join us, work together, and help us to continue Mandela's long walk to freedom.
It's quite simple, it's quite true, it's quite short, but I don't know, Kofi Annan just had this way with words, and just even hearing his voice was so authoritative, like you couldn't help but sit up straight and listen when he spoke.
You sound like you know him. Yeah. What did your mom say about him?
Sia tells his mother over the weekend, oh, yeah, Kofi Annan died.
Yeah, my mom and I have these weekly phone calls where we catch up properly. So I called her over the weekend. It was Saturday, probably midday-ish when I just heard of his passing. And I said, Mom, did you hear Kofi Annan? You know, Kofi Annan, this great man, he just passed away. And my mom gets emotional and she says, I knew him. I knew him. I knew that man from the news. I'm going,
no, she didn't really know
same,
him,
Mom. Okay, yeah, right, that yeah, really yeah. is not the same. You can get emotional, but you just saw his face every so often in news reports. You didn't know him. But anyway, that's your set by Sia for this Monday morning.
All right. Very, very good. We got loads of good stuff coming up. Rich Mulholland will join us later on with the reality check, which we do on a Monday. And plenty of good stuff. We'll also rebroadcast an interview that I did with Julius Malema on the 22nd of July of 2016. And we must get him in here again, obviously, at some point to talk to him. But that'll be a little bit later at 8 o'clock. And some other stuff coming up, including the Sunflower Fund, to tell you about what's going on there. Ray Funnell, who will be in to talk to us about that in a short while. It's just after 7 o'clock. You know what to do if you want to get hold of us. 0861-555-189. That's the number you can call us on. If you would like to message us straight to the show, you can do that. It all arrives on the desktop in front of me. It is 0797482090. CliffCentral.com.